The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about relationships and how to keep them healthy and strong and keep those fires burning no matter how long you've been with somebody. And our special guest is a return guest and a friend, the Guys Guys Radio, very popular, Silke Schwarzkopf. She's the host and producer of the popular YouTube series, which I've been a guest on many, many times, and it's called Second Act TV. And we're going to talk all about, you know, how to keep things together, because over time, we have a lot of stress on relationships. People grow in different directions. They're not attracted to one another the way they usually were. And sometimes those love contracts kind of run out and people outgrow one another. And it's tough. And that's why the divorce rate is so high. And that's why people are swiping left and right so much and looking and looking and looking and trying to find new love because they're not satisfied with their current relationship, or their past relationship just didn't work. So we're going to get into that and so much more today here on Guys Guys Radio. And kind of, why do I want to cover this topic? I just think it's so important that we explore how to keep things going, because as I just mentioned, it's very easy to get out of a relationship. Divorce is hard, and that takes lawyers and money and stuff like that. But the fact of just walking away, just saying, I don't want to be with you anymore, that's pretty easy to do. The logistics of it are sometimes very difficult. And it's too easy from a standpoint of like, I outgrew this person, or I don't find them attractive, or I had a friend tell me that, my ex, she didn't laugh at my jokes anymore. And there's a lot of reasons why we want to seek greener pastures when we've been in a relationship for a while. And we've all been there, and we've all, at least I've been, blindsided where thinking a relationship I was in was working. I mean, the way I would roll with it is that if I had an issue, and I think a lot of guys are this way, if I had an issue with a relationship, I bring it up, talk about it. And I listen to my partner, and my partner says something I like, I'm like, cool, that's good. And if not, then we discuss it for a bit. And then I realize that, okay, he has a different perspective than I do on this, and I have to determine if that works for me or not. Is it a deal breaker or not? Is something we can change? Is something we can compromise on? And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. But I think that it's a matter of communication styles a lot of times, because many times, and I've talked to a lot of women, and I've been on the receiving end of this, where women are dissatisfied with the communication and their needs aren't being met in a relationship, emotional or otherwise, and they don't feel the guy is listening or paying attention. And ultimately, the guy gets dumped, and many times he's not aware that things were so in dire straits, if you will, with the relationship. I've been there myself. And it's kind of a joint effort here, where sometimes one partner is expressing in their own way the fact that they're dissatisfied with certain things and they want to talk about things, and they may not feel that their partner is paying attention. And that happens. And the partner may feel like, oh, I heard her, or I heard him, or I heard you, and yet I really don't agree, but it doesn't seem to be that big a deal. Well, these things add up, as we know, over time. And ultimately, half the relationships in America, in terms of marriages even, are break up. And we move through different passages in our life and different levels in our lives. And sometimes we do outgrow our partners, and people go in different directions. So it's understandable. But isn't it worth a conversation? Well, that's what we're going to do right here on Guys Guys Radio with my special guest, Silke Schwarzkopf.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good. apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, the interview portion of our show, and I'm pleased to bring back a welcome guest and a friend of Guys Guys Radio, my friend and the host of the very popular YouTube sensational show, Second Act TV, really big show right now, and my special guest, Silke Schwarzkopf. She's a producer, she's the host. It's rapidly growing. I've been a frequent guest on there. And if you've checked it out, you'll have a lot of fun. There are quick segments about all types of things about relationships and how we relate to one another when we're over 50. So today we're going to talk about how to keep love alive and keep kind of the fires burning in relationships when we're over 50. So Silke and I are going to do a deep dive on this. But first, I want to welcome you back to the show, Silke. It's great to see you.
It's great to see you. And thank you for that nice introduction. I'll take it.
So let's... You know, we've talked about relationships so many times on your show, and I think this is a kind of a broad topic for us, but I think it's an important one because when we're a lot of times we talk about finding a partner, but let's talk about when you're in a relationship, because so many people over 50 are in relationships and a lot of times they don't work out over time, and there's many different reasons. So I think we want to find some solutions here. So let's talk about how to keep love alive, how to keep the fires burning, how to keep things fresh after 50. So as we know, Silke, love is love and people are people, and we live in a fast-paced world and things change virtually each and every day. From your own perspective and from that, what you've heard from your guests and the experts that you interview, what are some of the biggest challenges in keeping relationships fresh and alive when you're over 50?
Well, wish I knew. And, you know, I don't position myself as an expert at all. That's why I interview people who are, and I've gotten a lot of input and certainly have my own opinions as well. I think basically the overarching answer to your question is you have to continue to like each other. Love is one thing. Liking is something else. And to want to be with this person. And then, you know, not settle into a mundane routine, which is what we tend to do as you know, we're together. And a lot of times, like you said, we concentrate a lot on finding love. In some ways, that's the easy part. It's the hard part to stay together. So, yeah, this is a great topic.
Now, people grow at different paces, and sometimes they grow apart, and sometimes they grow together. My conjecture is that one of the keys to keeping things fresh, ongoing, is for both people to keep learning and then have things that they can discuss with one another and share with one another. I was inspired by this because I was watching my mother-in-law. She's 84 years old. I posted a video of her on Facebook of her playing ping pong. She just took up ping pong. She's playing that. She's also just started doing artwork, and she sent us some artwork. I was like, this is amazing. She's 84. Now, her husband passed, but she does this because it interacts with, she likes to do it. Mm-hmm. She's passionate about it, and it opens up new groups of friends for her and keeps her mind active and fresh. And I think this relates also to relationships where if two people are stagnant and they get too comfortable and they're not learning as individuals, it can rub the relationship the wrong way, if you will. What are your thoughts on that, Silke? And what have you heard?
Well, yeah, I mean, that obviously that makes sense. I think keeping it fresh long term, there's more underlying stuff to that, because when you happen together long term, there's a lot of stuff that has happened, and just the examination of whether or not there's resentment. You know, what is your relationship like right now? Is in answering your question, sometimes you just don't want to do activities with somebody. You know, you just want to get away from this person, and that's why, well,
your partner, right?
It's true. You know, if you don't like each other, back to my first point, mm-hmm. you're not likely to seek that, which though is really important to do. Sometimes it can be challenging because if you're set in a routine, and then all of a sudden the other person starts interesting, let's do this. There can be miscommunication or misinterpretation that something's not right with the relationship. It's, I mean, it's really, we just talked about this on another show. That's why it came into my head. It can be a challenge. Yes, you want to keep that fresh, but you also have to have a really clear understanding of where your relationship is, so nothing gets misinterpreted where all of a sudden one person, you know, develops all these new interests. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it actually leads into the next question I had, which is about assessing where we are with the relationship, because a lot of times men and women look at the relationships through a different lens. As I've said repeatedly, men are pretty simple. If they have an issue, they'll bring it up. They want to talk about it, and they'll listen to you, and you have a conversation. And then pretty much if they agree, they agree. If they disagree, they disagree. And then they'll make the decisions based on that. But they're not going to drill too deeply. A woman might look at it from a lot of different angles. Man, sometimes guys, just pretty simple. If it's working, I don't say anything. If it's not working, I'll bring it up. Women are always trying to find ways to improve the relationships. So I guess my question is, who is asking the questions about the state of the relationship more frequently, men or women? And they are asking and they're looking at things differently.
Oh, women. I mean, you know, there's always, of course, exceptions, but absolutely, you know, we overthink. Sometimes that's good. Most of the time it's not. And the way you started the question is that, you know, most men and women think differently. I don't think most do. I think everybody does. There is such a huge difference. That's one of the big things that I've learned just by interviewing all these experts, just the degree to which we are different and really how simple it is to not fix it necessarily, but work within those differences if we just understand them. And yeah, women, absolutely. We overthink. We want things to work. And then a lot of times that gets over or comes over as criticism, when really it's well-intended, you know, something to fix something. but again, so many misinterpretations. I don't even know where to start. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the differences, you know, between men and women and understanding how those hurt or help a relationship.
And this could also, if it's a same-sex relationship, or even if it's a throuple or whatever it is, the communication issues will come up. But what we're saying is, like, men and women kind of think in the old-fashioned, definition. Think kind of differently, and think differently when it comes to relationships in terms of how they communicate. So do you think that, and from what you've heard, the guys sometimes get into this because they're not going to say too much. If they don't say anything, you can assume they're happy. That's what I'm saying. If they have an issue, they'll bring it up. But if they don't, okay, things are good. So do you think, and from what you've heard, the guys get in a comfort zone and they like to hang out at home or like to hang with their friends or whatever, and instead of paying more attention to their partners because they're taking things kind of for granted, and they're not doing it with the intention of taking things for granted, but they don't realize that their behavior could be sending out signals that they're taking things for granted. And oh, by the way, they may actually be subconsciously taking things for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that that's probably true for most relationships. Once, you know, when during the courting phase, You know, we're both in our best behavior. We try to make the other person happy. And then once that's accomplished, we go to our comfort zone. And yes, men, I think men absolutely take that for granted, not even realizing it. Because again, from John Gray explains this really well, but you know, the goal of men is to make women, well, one of them anyway, if you go with, you know, Dr. John Gray, is to make a woman happy. And so once he's accomplished that it's okay not to do that anymore, not to to sit back and get in their comfort zone without, you know, trying to keep making, you know, that being in that chase mode. And then that gets misinterpreted by women, that they don't understand, you know, the need for, well, again, what John Gray calls cave time, or just alone time, or, you know, just wanting to be in your thoughts, shut down time, that is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is very normal. And I want to follow up on what you said earlier that the old fashioned way, which that just is astounding to me. You know, of course we're talking about, you know, heterosexual, mm-hmm. Monogamous relationships, right. And that has become an old fashioned thing, or it's becoming. And that's, I find that extremely interesting as we, you know, go on with these interviews and dating terms, like what you and I talked right. about. So lots of dynamics, you know, in this topic. And I know on our channel, it's, you know, 50 and over. So we're very comfortable speaking to, quote unquote, the old fashioned way of thinking, because we have to understand that in this right. new world. But I know you have younger listeners as well. So I thought about this before coming on, is like, how does it relate? Can you even understand that there is a difference between men and women, and that's okay. It's not that they're not equal, mm-hmm. but there's a difference.
Getting into some specifics, more tactics, if you will, and it's an old adage saying, like, you know, date night, or like, you're always dating. You know, I think what happens a lot of times is people don't realize that, you know, there's always other people out there, and they don't realize that you kind of have to have a dating mentality throughout your relationship, no matter how long you've been together. I mean, that doesn't mean like you behave like when you just started dating, but you have to remember that you pursued this person, or you were open to this person, and you liked this person, and before falling in love with this person, and you want to do things to impress them. And then over time, you just take it, there he is, or there she is, after like left his socks in the floor again, and like a toothpaste in the sink, or whatever it is. And it becomes a whole different paradigm that we're dealing with the relationship. So how do you think it's important to have like date nights and how to have that dating mentality, even if you've been together for 30 years?
You know, Robert, I'm going to be really honest here.
Please.
Because I think, yeah, sure, it's important. I just don't think people do it. And it's almost, it can be awkward sometimes. Again, people will disagree with me, but you're asking for my opinion as well as what I've heard. My opinion is that sometimes that can be awkward, especially for men. They don't really, I don't know. I don't know how easy it is to actually implement that. You know, let's do date night. I think, I don't know, maybe more subtly. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally get you. You don't want to make it like so overt that you're being corny, but it's nice to say, okay, I think it's about always having some surprises there.
Yes.
Delighting.
Yeah.
It's like a good story. Like you get the ending that you want, not in the way you expect. It's like you want to have some surprises to keep that's another way of keeping the relationship fresh.
Right.
Right. So having a date night is actually not a bad idea, as long as you don't make it too official that you just do nice things for the other person.
Well, that it doesn't become a chore or something.
Right, right.
And the reason I bring that up is I actually heard that and it kind of made sense. Well, we have to have date night, or, you know, we have to do it. You don't want to have to do anything. You want to do something. And that's why I'm saying in a more subtle way that you can, you know, just encourage things along. I actually had this was interesting to me. Again, goes back to what, you know, therapy in our days, or marriage counseling was. Most of the counselors would, or therapists would say, you know, don't watch, you know, get away from the TV. Do, you know, you need to focus on each other. And I interviewed Dr. Raymond Presson, and he's the one, and he definitely comes from that era, very, very funny as well. But he said, you know, I actually encourage my couples to watch TV together, because that's a very subtle way to connect over something that you can later talk about. Or that, for some reason, I mean, this is nothing new, but that makes so much sense to me. If you can just share something comfortably that you can then connect over.
Yeah, I think that's so true, because what happens now, I mean, I'm in a household, there's three of us, and at 8 o'clock in the evening, you walk by, there's three different devices going.
Right.
And I think that's how it is nowadays. And so to find something that sometimes I've instituted actually here in the Manny household, the Guy's Guy household, Friday night, we have movie night. So we find a family-friendly movie and something, some new information from my son. And the three of us get together and we sit on the couch and we watch the movie together. And
yeah, I love that.
Turn all the lights off. It's cool.
Yeah, it's easy to do. It's easy, you know, there's no pressure there. And yeah, you can actually enjoy doing it together versus thinking, and you know, obviously this isn't for every, you know, no, some people really would enjoy this. I'm not saying that nobody does this, but you know, from talking to people and then my own view on it, it starts to become a chore. Like what are we going to do?
Right. It happens a lot. So Guys, Guys Radio, my special guest is the host and producer of Second Act TV, the rapidly expanding YouTube channel with great content about relationships over 50. And that's what we're talking about right now, how to kind of keep love alive and keep things fresh. So it's interesting. I was mentioning earlier, Silke, that I sat on a panel the other day, and it's, one of the topics was emotional availability in men. Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting that a couple of the sidebar comments in the chat room were about two ladies. In fact, said, I've been in this relationship for 3 years and he's a liar. And I realize he's not emotionally available. And I'm thinking to myself, did it take you 3 years to figure that out? So the issue of emotional availability, mm-hmm. is that sometimes swept under the rug? Or do we think that we know this person? And then as we get deep into the relationship, we realize that this person is different, distant based mm-hmm. on who I thought he was or who he really is or who I've turned him into. His behavior is a reflection of how we're, you know, our interaction. What are your thoughts on this? The issue of, is emotional availability a obstacle or a bump in the road to long-term relationship success and keeping things alive?
Well, I think it's key. I want to clarify what when you say emotional availability, what that means to me. That strictly means that you have the ability to empathize and to read the other person, that you can understand what they're thinking or feeling. And I mean, do you agree with that, or what reference are you using?
Yeah, what is emotional availability? I like to keep it simple. To me, somebody's responsive and they're mm-hmm. available and they're mm-hmm. open-minded and they can talk about things. It's not just a guy being a problem solver. It's about what are you passionate about? How do you feel? And sometimes it's difficult to get. And some of the people on the panel who were attending had trouble where, how do I get the guy, you know, in a position where he's emotionally available, meaning responsive? And it's like, well, ask questions that, you know, find out, instead of like the one question one of the panel members asked, well, one of the audience members said, forgive me, was about, how do you feel about being emotionally triggered? And I'm like, well, that's a question that really shut a guy down. You want to find out about what they're passionate about. Get them talking about things they're interested in. And then that's how, that's feelings.
Right.
And then work off of that. Now, if you're with a partner, if you've been with somebody for a couple of years, you should be able to know their trigger points in a good way as to what turns them on. How can I get them going? Oh, they love the Padres or the Dodgers, whatever. I can get them talking about that or golf. Tell me about your round. And now a half hour later, you know, they're up to the 15th hole or whatever. But what golfers really get into it and remember every shot on every hole. So I guess the issue is you have to find ways of bringing out the emotional availability in your partner. I think it's a huge factor in relationships, new or existing relationships. And when you, if that gets shut down, that means the relationship in many ways is shut down.
Oh, I totally agree. No, it's huge. And I think the term that when you have emotional availability is misleading, especially when men hear it. Oh, no, I have to talk about feelings. Yeah. And that's not what it is. It is really about, you know, vulnerable communication. That's another word that could trigger.
Vulnerable. Vulnerable. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it comes down to communication. And again, understanding the different communication styles that are, again, in general, generally speaking, are true for men and women. And again, you know, we're talking about relationships between men and women. And, you know, like men, for example, in what I've been told by the experts is that one of their core needs is appreciation.
Yes.
Appreciation and that.
You froze for a second there, Silva.
Okay, let's take it again.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Like, for example, one of a man's key needs, you know, is appreciation. They want to be believed in. And if you can, you know, bring that across, I'm proud of you. If you make your man feel like that, there's going to be good communication. And on the other hand, for women, their number one need is connection, you know, be it touch, be it talking.
Eye contact.
Eye contact. But is that connection? Women want connection. And a lot of that is talking, which, you know, sometimes men would rather shut down. So it's just, you know, maybe understanding just those differences.
Yeah, that, I think so.
Yeah.
Even putting, you know, the phone, when your partner's talking to you, I know you've heard them a million times and you know what they're saying, but put the phone down and like look over at them. I think that creates a connection. I think guys, I know I'm guilty of that sometimes where, okay, I feel I can do like five things at once, but it's better to do one thing well and not kind of half-ass it, as they say. So let's switch to a more fun part of the topic of the curriculum. You know, I was talking about this the other day with my wife, and I said, what do you, you know, the long-term thing, people have different kind of men and women. They're on different sex schedules as they grow, they go through the years. And that can be choppy waters to navigate. And she said something that was really interesting to me. She said, you know, I'm like appreciative. The way I look at it is we're on a different schedule in terms of, you know, who's more Randy than the other person. I won't say who, but I think you can guess. And then, but I am appreciative that my husband finds me so attractive after being together for 13 years. And that's a very interesting way of looking at it. So, you know, her thing is like, when I'm into it, I'm really into it. When I'm not into it, let's talk about something else or whatever. And I thought that's pretty cool. And I guess my question is, how is it necessary? How do people best navigate the diverse sexual needs they have for intimacy? Should you schedule it? You want to keep everybody happy, but it's a lot of it comes from a mindset. Like, yes. Guys don't want it. If she doesn't want, it's no fun. Like, I want to have sex and she doesn't want it. Like, it's like, it takes all the steam out of it. She's just a mercy, what, you know what? And it's like, you don't want that. And for women, it's like, oh no, not again. Type of thing where they're a lot of times on a different schedule as they age sexually than men. And then the roles shift in terms of, you know, they can be randier than the guys. So how do you, what have you heard about navigating this often tricky issue, Silke?
Yeah, tricky. My God, that's a big topic. It's funny. I just did a segment on that with Tiffany Yelverton, one of our sexual health experts, where the topic was busting some of the myths of what men think women want, and where I think that a lot of the issues lie of women, you know, quote unquote, not wanting to have sex as they age or as a relationship goes along. It's typically because it's not good. I mean, if a woman doesn't want, of course, there are other, you know, exceptions. You have bad days and that sort of thing. But if it's a trend or if it's something that's existed at some point, you know, with our audience on Second Act for years and years, then it's because there's something really wrong with their sex life. And that's one thing that men actually need to understand. You know, what is it that women really want and need in the bedroom. And we don't have our generation certainly wasn't educated on, you know, sex. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, don't do it. It's shame. You just didn't talk about the things that really make your sexual connection great. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, yes, again, if you're in a long-term marriage, like I was married 25 years, 10 of which, and I've talked about this openly, was sexless because it was horrible. I didn't want to be with him. One, he wasn't, it wasn't any good. And then two, I had so much resentment built up over other things. And that's a lot of times that's the underlying issue there. Can you fix that? I don't know. In my case, not. What's interesting, especially when starting over again, and all of a sudden there's somebody new or there's new excitement brought to the table, that those things don't go away. So the question, again, in a relationship is how can you reignite that and just remember what it was like in the beginning? Mm-hmm. And what Tiffany said, one of the things was to really be open to experimentation. You know, to other things. And all that made sense. It's a great talk. If you tune in, do Tiffany.
Of course. Okay.
But if one partner then all of a sudden wants something different, or can we try that? Then the other partner might think something is up, or it's a difficult thing to do. It is really a very honest answer. And if you can talk about it, if you can communicate on it, if you're not ashamed to tell her or him what you need, what you don't like, I mean, that's really the key to not having it veer off in directions where you can't come back from.
You know, I think drilling into that, there's the issue of telling your partner what you want. I think it's more effective if you show the partner what you want, because a lot of times people don't want to be told what to do unless they get off on being told what to do, whatever. Everybody's got their own little things. But sometimes with the guys, they don't want it, like, now she's telling me how to do this or that. They don't want the instruction book there. But if you show them, this is what I like, or you show them what they could like. That's me is a lot more effective.
And that's
more
actually really a really, really good point. And yes, that's a really, really good point, because the way you deliver that can be well received or not. And, you know, showing, I guess, you know, can be really kind of more exciting too.
Yeah. It's like you get a little bit of it's entertaining in a way too. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not diminishing the power of, you know, to me, there's an exchange of energy when you have intimacy with somebody, even if it's your partner of a long time. You want it to be special and fresh and take it to that next frequency level, if you will. And you can do that if it's done the right way. So what's the biggest key then to managing the sexual paradigm, if you will? Because also nowadays there's, with a lot of couples, there's swinging, there's role playing, there's throuples, there's all, you know, scheduling sex, no sex, one partner wants it, the other one doesn't. It all comes down to communication, I guess. What are your insights, and what else have you heard from some of your experts, Silke?
Well, again, I think the answers I give tend to be, you know, err on in the old fashioned way, because that's again, the demographic that we talk with. But it is really about, well, one, you know, the communication, but understanding, like, how, what's up with my body? I wish I had a good answer for you, Robert. I don't know.
The answer is there's no one answer. Every situation is different, but we need to be present to be aware, yes, of what needs to be worked on. So do you think, and from what you've heard, that, people can change? I mean, people change over time, but can people change in terms of changing themselves to address situations with their relationships to make it work? Because it's so easy to walk away now, even though divorce can be very complicated. We're in a swipe right, swipe left, delete, ghost, breadcrumb, ghosting type of world now. Do you think people can change, and should we, how much of a chance should we give people to change when you're in a relationship and some things just aren't working that you might not have sussed out before you got into a committed relationship?
I think people can adapt. And there's changes that can be implemented to, will anybody ever totally change? I don't think so. Again, my opinion, I mean, relationships are, it's a give and take. And I think the compromising of it, you know, knowing how to compromise without feeling like you're giving something up. That's really the art of going forward and not, you know, not letting resentment build. Like, resentment is the absolute killer of a relationship. So understanding where resentment came from and then working on those things, that's how changes, you know, can be implemented. And you're given those aha moments, like, you know, I had no idea that I was doing this, and being willing to listen. Both sides now, and learn, and let go of the need to be right. That's another really, really big thing that I know I had. I had to learn that. So,
A lot of women I hear, they really want, like, what is the guy working on? I was sitting on another panel, and a lot of the women were saying the guys are just, they made their money, they have their boat or whatever, and that's it. Now they expect, like, they want to, you know, arm candy type of thing. How do we address that? How do we get beyond that to more? They seem to indicate that they wanted a guy also to be self-aware and to be working on something. So one of them had a question when on the first date, which was, "What are you working on?" And the guy was like, took a step back, basically, and like, "What do you mean?" Started talking about his golf game, and. How important is it for what I'm trying to get to is, from a female perspective and from your experts, what is it that they want men to do to keep the relationship fresh and alive? And the one example I heard was, be working on something for self-improvement.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's, yes, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with you that we need to keep learning, and we need to keep, you know, trying new things. Absolutely. Can you, I mean, just asking that question when you said that, what are you working on? Or if it's
like, that's possible, not the way to do it.
It's terrible. That's a really bad question to ask. I mean, in a lot of times I do take the defense of men, if you will, because I mean, I can speak for women. I can talk to women because I'm a woman. It's like, you know, you want to hit him over the head and go, what are you doing? You know, just like you can. You typically take the, even though I want you to talk about what men really want, you always veer into what, you know, we need to understand what women want. And that's wonderful. But at the same, you know, that's why when you ask me questions like this, sometimes I just want to just hit him over the head or her over the head and just go, why are you asking? You know, you have to create it, not just throw this out there that we're, you know, you shut the man down. Does that?
Yeah, I know. It's like how you ask certain questions. So, but what are women really looking for in terms of some of the signals they need to get that say, okay, the relationship continues to grow? Because if it doesn't grow, you know, life is movement. If you want to stay healthy, you have to move. And if you don't, it's like, you know, you ever go to a chiropractor, they'll say, you know, with your spine or whatever, it's because you have to move. Mm-hmm. And if you don't move, you get bone right. spurs and stuff like that. So what are women's perspective in terms of what needs to be done to keep the relationship moving and alive so they'll be engaged and they'll want to, you know, please their man and want to have a great communication and want to keep the relationship going instead of going, as often happens, and it sounds like it happened with you, with due respect, where you were resentful. Mm-hmm. And I've been blindsided by unhappy partner, and then bang, you get dumped. And mm-hmm. a lot of times guys, and it's not just me, it's like every guy, like, I thought things were okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't really say anything about that. And sometimes things are said that we may not have heard what was really said. Words were spoken, but what was really meant wasn't articulated in those words. You would have to kind of read into it. And other times, guys need to be reminded, like, this is an issue. This is something we have to work on. It's not just a throwaway. So talk to us about that. What do men need to know? And what do women want men to do to keep the fires burning in relationships, so they feel beautiful and they feel smart and they feel welcomed and they feel connected and they feel taken care of and they feel good about the relationship?
I think you just answered your question. That's what I was going to say. It's not really, specifically here, do this, buy her, it is maintaining, making her happy. Do you feel, I want to feel good with the person I'm with. Obviously there's going to be ups and downs, but trending and going forward and wanting to remain in a relationship, do I have fun with this person? Does he make me laugh? Do we enjoy being around each other? And whatever it takes to cultivate that, again, everybody's different. But I always keep coming back to, if you like someone, you want to be with them. So do likable things, and then that just naturally may, you do things. And I don't know what those things are. To me, that need or that desire to do that is the first step. It's almost the base to any sort of actions, to take.
How about just people taking care of themselves? Because sometimes what happens over time, you have one partner, like you're a runner, you go out and run. I don't know what your partner was doing, but sometimes one person makes fitness a priority, and the other person doesn't. That can become an issue because it's a psychological thing as well as a visual thing, where you want to feel great, you want to look great, and the other person maybe has a different perspective on that. That's not as important to them. And then you start to grow apart because one person's working out all the time and the other person isn't. How have you heard about that being an issue?
Yes, absolutely. I did a whole segment on it. Has a fitness work, is that an issue in your relationship? Because it does become that way. Again, especially in long-term relationships, when, that is important to somebody and the other person's not, it does take you in two different directions. And both, like as you just said, both physically and mentally, and it can be a relationship killer. Fitness can kill your relationship. I'm being facetious, but it actually is a thing. People write about this, and you need to be aware of that. If that's important to one person, all of a sudden it's not important to the other, or maybe it's never been big can be a big issue. Absolutely.
Okay, my special guest, Guys Radio host and star and producer of Second Act TV, the fast growing YouTube channel sensation, Silke Schwarzkopf is with me today. We're talking about how to kind of keep the fires burning in a long-term relationship. And there's so many aspects of it. We've been talking about intimacy. My last question on that, Silke, is can intimacy, sex, as well as intimacy, keep a relationship together if the other stuff isn't working? Or does that become kind of an appointment mindset, an appointment type of thing where, will we still do this well together?
Maybe. Again, if the other stuff isn't working, it's not likely you're going to be intimate is the bottom line.
There you go.
That's one of the main reasons women, quote unquote, are accused of withholding sex. And they do. I know I did in my marriage. It was like, there's no way I'm going to have, sex with him after this. So if the other things in your life aren't working, yeah, maybe you can every now and then, have a nice little romp in the hay, but that's not going to keep you together. Keeping a relationship together really is about the emotional connection that you want to be with this person. You want to make this person happy. And, sex is like the crowning part. It's the whipped cream on your relationship. It's a very, very important part of your relationship. Absolutely. But I don't think it'll keep a relationship together. No.
A lot of people talk about like the love language, how important it is to listen to her or his love language. So as we move forward and we grow together or grow apart, whatever the state of the relationship may be, how important is love language? And does that love language change over time?
Well, I guess we need to ask, Gary that. Probably. First of all, it's super important. And that to me was also a huge revelation. I actually just discovered the five love languages like 15 years ago. And it just made reading that makes so much sense, because this is another, thing that women need to understand, or men for that matter, is that we want to treat, or if we treat you the way we want to be treated, doesn't mean that you want to be treated that way. And that's where the love languages really clarify that what I need to feel loved is different maybe than what you need to feel loved. And by understanding that's a big part of keeping a relationship together, sure. Knowing that you're receiving it, even though it's not, the way you would give it.
And you're quoting Dr. Gary Salyer, right?
No. I'm talking. Gary, the five love languages.
Oh, who is that? I'm sorry.
I don't have the book here now.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
The book here now. Five love. Gary Chapman, Dr. Gary Chapman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I got my Gary's mixed up there.
But, Gary Salyer is wonderful too. He's a frequent guest on,
and he's been on Guys Radio also.
Well,
so
and he has a big part, the theory of, well, anyway, I'm leading us. You ask the question.
Well, last question then. If you could identify from what you've heard from the experts and putting it through your own Silke filter, what are the three keys to keeping a long-term relationship growing and extending even further?
Well, I keep going back to, have a authentic desire to want to be with this person. And do I like this person? If I don't like you, then I don't want to be with you. I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to be with you for 30 years if I don't like you. And for me, that is just such a big, it's 1, 2, and 3. Because if you like something, you're more apt to want to keep it, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I've really adapted that to my life, because there's lots of things that, can make you mad or irritate you or something. And then you go back to it. I really like him. And I'm not going to give that up over some silly, something that you can compromise on.
So it really, to me, that sounds like, how does this person make me feel?
Exactly.
Okay, great. Perfect way to end it. So Silke, tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your show.
Oh, well, it's Second Act. Well, the website is secondact.tv, and that's the number 2nd.tv. And of course, on YouTube, you can just, Second Act TV. Or if you just Google, Dating After 50, Robert and my videos will probably come up.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for being back on Guys Radio. We're going to see you again, and I'll see you on your show very soon, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. I always love being here.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, what a terrific conversation, as usual, with my buddy Silke Schwarzkopf. She's the host and producer of the popular YouTube channel Second Act TV. It's all about relationships over 50, and that's exactly what we talked about today. We talked about relationships not just over 50, but in general, and how it's important to keep those fires burning, not just intimately and sexually, but emotionally, and just how we grow together or grow apart. And that seems to be the choice. Do you grow together in a relationship or do you grow apart? And I think the biggest takeaway is it seems like the most important thing that we can do when we're in a relationship with a partner is to both grow individually and then bring what we're growing individually, the fruits of that work, to the table and see if there are things that we can share together. And that's a lot of fun, because then it's a real partnership where everybody's contributing in their own way and in the areas where that they're passionate about. And maybe then you'll see that we don't fit together, or maybe it's like this is energizing and re-energizing and freshening up the relationship. And I think that's what it's all about. So consider that. Bring new things to the table, keep growing on your own, and just listen to your partner. Pay attention. As you know, we're here on Guys Guys Radio. The purpose is to really help you live your best life. We bring in guests, thought leaders from all over, all aspects of areas of expertise that they have, whether it's they're a New York Times bestselling author, they're in sports, they're in music, they're in alternative medicine, spirituality, metaphysical stuff. I bring everybody on here that I think has something to add, who has a story to tell that can add value to my audience. And that's what we do here. So I want to thank 750 guests I've interviewed so far on the show, and there's many, many more. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris, who always has my back, my strategy dude, Ryan. And most of all, I want to thank you, our growing audience, as we keep rolling here on Guys Guys Radio. We're back next week. And until then, like I always like to say, guys, finish first.